Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
They can be out of control, and the folks responsible for them have a tendency to believe it's never their fault.
Okay.
And when you take them to the park, well, the chaos can get ratcheted up to 11.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not.
Kids? Dogs? I'll be honest, I'm not even sure which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because whether you are taking a trip to the dog park or the park with your kids, both situations can get super dicey.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Big news from the West Side.
What are you getting?
Barkyard.
Barkyard.
Opened last weekend at the Parma Town Park.
So it's a dog park.
You got it. It's a fully fenced acre-wide dog park with dog-friendly obstacles. The folks who run Parma Park said they wanted to build the best dog park in Monroe County. And here's the thing. I haven't seen this thing, but I believe they have because, sidebar, Parma takes this park very seriously.
Oh.
Like, ever since
it was the spot to go as a kid.
In Monroe County.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't just like Hilton or Greece. Yeah.
Well, they had like the big wooden playground at one point.
Huge. Awesome.
Then they had like the skate park.
They were the first to have a skate park.
Yeah.
They had a baseball pitching machine
when
I was a kid. Wow. No other park had that. Our coach would drive us from Gates to Parma to use these pitching machines that they had. They got trails galore. Parma loves this park, and they take such good care of it.
This is great.
But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, have you ever been to a dog park before?
Yeah.
Okay. Kimmy, have you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Because you saw this story, and I get the impression that you've seen some awkward interactions in dog parks.
Well, I know people that have some stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think there will be more adult confrontations between owners at the dog park, or will there be more parent confrontations between parents at the playground?
No, it's going to be the dog park.
Why do you say that?
Because everybody thinks they have a good dog.
Everybody thinks they have a good kid.
Yeah, but like dogs, you can't control.
Oh, like, not you, like kids?
You take a dog off a leash, right? And everybody thinks their dog is friendly. Oh, he doesn't bite. He's sweet. And then all hell breaks loose. And if they don't have like, I've seen those ones in New York City where they separate the dog parks. Like there's a big dog park and then there's one for the little guy.
That's usually how they are.
Cops Hill has that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have just all in one thing. But anytime you go, it's just pure chaos.
Okay. So you think more fights between dog owners and parents?
I would think.
Kimmy, would you agree?
I'm going to say yes, only because when you're at the park and your kid's running around on the playground, you don't necessarily see everything, you know, because your kid's running around.
Sure, sure.
But when you're standing there, all the dog owners are standing there together most of the time watching everything go down.
Yes.
So you could be shoulder to shoulder with that person when, you know, an incident occurs.
All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. More confrontations at the dog park or at the kids' playground? Because I've never taken my dogs to a dog park.
I haven't either.
Okay. You just said you've been to a dog park.
I have. I've seen them in New York City.
Oh, but you've never taken the dog to a dog park.
No, but you can watch them and you can see the chaos.
Gotcha. I will say this.
What's that?
Most times I took my kids to a public park, like to the playground, there was an awkward interaction between parents about their kids. Not like a yelling issue all the time, like not getting too hot, but one of those passive aggressive, like, this is me teaching you how to raise your kid kind of situation.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Right? Because, I mean, you understand a dog being a dog.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I get that people get hot, but at the end of the day, I can't look at my dog and, like, reason with them.
Yeah.
People, I think, get hotter when the kids act up and do something to their kid.
I think there's definitely going to be a confrontation between parents and some awkwardness. But I'm going to say there's going to be more lawsuits involved with the dog park.
Oh, well, yeah, because, okay, all right.
So people will take that. People will take the dog park arguments to another level.
And don't forget, people now treat their dogs like they're kids.
Yeah, I know a couple people like that.
It's sick. They're sick people.
You dress your dog up. She has
only on the holidays.
She has color-coordinated toys.
Well, because she's a girl.
She doesn't know pink, blue. She don't know.
But I know.
Kimmy's doing photo shoots with her dog out in the yard this week.
He looked really cute that day.
Hey, Arnie's next to a flower. Check him out, guys. All right, let me ask you this question.
What is it?
Who is more likely to take offense if they are told they are not raising their little one the right way? Parent or dog owner?
Parent.
Yeah, parent for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can argue I can't control my dog. He's a dog.
But no one would say that. No dog owner would say I can't control my dog.
Well, no, you'd say, oh, he's usually not like this.
That's what I mean. That's the difference.
He's usually very friendly.
But I think a dog person would go into defense mode knowing like their dog did something bad. Whereas a parent, I don't even know if they see their kid is doing something bad.
Okay, I think it's closer than you think.
What's that?
Well, we've seen parents have a hard time accepting being criticized.
Oh, yeah.
But if there is one group of people that may be worse, I think it is dog owners.
Oh, yeah.
You will watch a dog bite someone. And then the owner will explain, well, you shouldn't have done that thing where my dog bit you.
You were too loud. You moved too fast.
Yes, exactly. Like, no, your dog just bit me.
Yes.
Not to mention, it does seem easier for things to get out of control faster at a dog park.
Oh, sure.
Like, if there's a kid being a monster at the playground, there isn't a threat that kid's going to pin my kid down and keep biting them in the neck.
Yes.
Little ones can play rough, but like a skin knee, bump on the forehead, I mean... But some dogs have to get pulled off
each
other.
You go there like on a Saturday, it's going to be packed full of dogs, right? So you're not even getting able to control your dog because your dog could be like, you know, 100 feet away with seven other dogs, you know, dicking around.
Well, that's the point of the dog park.
Right.
Right? Other dogs.
Yes.
252 WCMF, we're talking about Parma. They just opened up in their big-ass awesome park, the Barkyard. It's an acre-wide dog park with dog-friendly obstacles, and they'd said they wanted to have the best dog park in Monroe County. And Kimmy had asked off Mike the other day, do you think that there are more parents offended? Are there more parent fights at kids' playgrounds or dog owner fights at dog parks? Alex is on CMF. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
What up?
So, it's 100%. Parents over dogs.
Why is that?
Because when you go to a dog park, like you said earlier, all the dog owners are standing shoulder to shoulder watching everything go down. So when one dog does something, then it's like, oh, everybody saw it, and you know, we expect it being a dog park. But when you think about when parents go to the park, you got small groups of kids, small groups of parents. You're not really visibly watching your kid all the time because they're up in the tall tower and behind the pirate ship and all that crap, you know? So when stuff happens, you hear a scream, your head turns, you have to go, what happened to a four-year-old?
Okay, good point.
That's a
good point. And get their take on it.
All right, Alex, are you a dog owner and a parent?
Yes, I am.
Have you
kids, okay. Three dogs.
Wow, so have you been to the dog park with your dogs?
I go to the dog park in Manchester all the time, and I used to go to the one in Canandaigua.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. Do you get more anxiety bringing your kids to the playground or your dogs to the dog park?
I'll tell you this. I've never had to worry about somebody stealing my dog from the dog park.
Oh, ugly dogs, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Good looking kids, ugly dogs. Good problem to have. Alex, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
You too.
By the way, do you not have to worry about someone stealing your dog from the dog park?
Yeah, they could.
Right. Yeah, it is a possibility.
An expensive dog gets snatched.
We have seen,
but I guess you're usually right there. So I don't know.
Okay, can you walk me through this? Because you're explaining, you've said it, and Alex just said it, that every dog owner is standing shoulder to shoulder watching the dogs.
I think you have to be in there with your dog.
But it's still weird that everyone is focused on the dog. Like, I would think letting my dog go to the dog park, that gives me a chance to like relax, read something on my phone, bring a magazine.
You could.
I don't know.
Is that the culture is to stand and just watch my dog play?
Yeah.
Usually it's a ring of people around them just watching them.
You're supposed to kind of keep your eye on things.
Right. Explain that to me.
And you got
to
pick up if he drops
too.
A deuce.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because
that's a lot of deuces.
But like, what's the point of taking the dog to the dog park if I'm just going to intently stand
around? Well,
you don't have a yard.
Fenced in area. Yeah.
Got it.
That's it.
Go for a walk. I don't see what the difference is. Really.
Well, because he runs free.
Free running?
Play some catch.
Oh,
yeah, they socialize, sniff some ass.
Yeah, and you're out of there. To Alex's point, I didn't even think about your kid trying to explain to you
sniffing an ass
something that happened and how your mind could run wild, and that usually could lead to a confrontation, even if it was over nothing.
All right, let me ask this question.
What's up?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Which is more likely to overreact if their little one is messed with, the dog owner or the parent of a child?
Hmm.
Who's going to overreact if something happens to their little one?
Well, probably the kid, I hope.
The parent you think is going to overreact.
Especially
if their
kid results in some type of injury.
Okay, I think this is tighter than you guys believe.
No, I'm not. I'm with you. I think a dog owner is more likely to sue the other person involved.
Okay, so that would be an overreaction. Although, but the dog also can cause more injury. All right. Mm. In both the dog and the kid case, the size of what you brought to the park dictates how everyone thinks you should be treated.
Okay, you bring a big old dog.
Well, look, if you bring a big kid, it's fine to roughhouse a little with another big kid. Same with a big dog. Like we talked about, they show them up, right? Parents with smaller kids for their age seem to be very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cautious?
Overprotective?
Maybe. Okay. Like, keep your lumbering kid away from my child, right? And as a former lumbering kid, there were several times where I accidentally hurt kids just playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't intentionally try and hurt them.
Because you're big.
You got knocked down. Get off the tracks where the train's coming through.
Are you like a human dog, like a human golden retriever?
I promise your husband had this same problem. I promise you.
Big boy.
You don't know what it's like.
He didn't
mean
to knock him over. He just really likes him and wanted to say hi.
No, that's exactly what my mother would have to say to other parents. You guys don't know.
I raise him big in my house.
You guys don't know what it's like.
You don't always be a little guy.
Oh, no. Is that hard for you?
Yeah, it is. Oh. You big doofuses.
Bro, like, your body grows faster than your mind can understand. Yeah. Like, legitimately. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know I was hurting people. I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
I didn't mean to hurt. Just stop me. I'm just stopping. Stop and fall. I didn't mean to fart on you, then sit on you. I'm sorry. Oh, here comes Mr. Butterwings. He must have smelled my farts. Mr. Butterwings. He's trying to hold his nose with his little wing, and he's going to crash.
Again, Mr. Butterwing's a butterfly now.
Thank you. A butterfly that
official butterfly of the break room.
Apparently a butterfly that smells farts also.
Only around you.
No, but like if you're
in the fat boy park.
If you got
that's what they need. Fat boy. Fat
yeah,
big
maybe
old
that's what they have to do. Separate like the big kids from the little kids like they do the dogs.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single issue that would arise from separating.
Some countries
over
a certain
have that.
Weight. And,
where they separate
height,
everybody.
Like they do on roller coasters. Yeah.
Okay, can I ask?
You must be this tall to enter this park.
Yeah. No, look, and again, it's.
Regular park and then fart park.
Fart park.
We got bark park and fart park.
No, in all seriousness, that's not the worst idea ever if you could pull it off.
Yeah.
Because, like.
Height requirements.
Separate children.
Well, no, but, like, it is devastating. Can I tell you a story?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear one.
All right, well, I told the story about how, like, you know, you could go to the ground round back in the day, and based on how much you weighed as a kid, that's how, like, little you would pay, and they put me on the scale, and it was actually more than, like, what an adult meal would cost, so, like, they got me off. I played Pop Warner football, you know? Like, I think it was Vince Lombardi. Gate Stallions.
Yeah.
Go Stallions. And they have a weight limit to protect the kids.
At
least they did. So you had to weigh under X amount to be allowed to play.
Yeah.
And they would weigh you on a weekly basis. So there was...
It's like Weight Watchers.
It really was. So there's the C squad for the little kids, the B squad for the middle kids, the A squad for the older kids. So I was first year of organized football.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be on the C squad. There was no way
Your weight was too high?
Way high. So they moved me up to the B squad, right? So now I'm playing with kids that are 3 years older than me. Even there, every week, I was right on the line.
How much did you weigh?
At that point, I want to say it was 120. Okay. I remember that number sticking out my head.
But you were how old?
Fifth grade.
So you were 10?
Fourth grade. Probably fourth grade.
Right.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
All right, 9, 10.
So every week, they would line everybody up, both teams, and put you on a scale in front of a coach from your team and a coach from the other team.
Oh.
Right? And if you weighed over that amount, you couldn't play.
It's like a game show.
Here's the thing. They would negotiate fat kids.
Oh.
Like.
Trade?
Yes. Like, if I was
to balance it out?
Yeah, a pound or two over, and they had another kid that was a pound or two over, they'd be like, okay, well, he's heavy and he's heavy, so they could both play.
Okay.
Also, there were times I remember, like, weighing in, and I'm, like, 2 pounds over, and they would make me keep taking stuff off. Like, to the point where I got down to, like, my underpants. In this shed, in Lyons Park in Gates.
A fat kid in his underwear on a scale.
I'm telling you, man. Like, I get why they did it.
That's more humiliating how you go into the Marine Corps.
I get why they did it. I get the safety part of it. But the anxiety as a fourth, fifth grade kid.
Body shaming.
It was terrible. Because, like, I would think about it from, like, Thursday until Sunday when we played. And then being in that line. Like, I would have this pit in my stomach because I just wanted to play football.
It was more than a pit in that stomach, son.
Weighed in every time, though. Never got held out.
All right.
That's right. Because a lot of fat kids on the other team got traded. Do they still do that?
I hope not. That's terrible to do to kids. Jesus Christ.
Well, you just wanted to split up the kids at the park. Fart park.
You're doing it for kids' safety, so maybe they did it longer than they should have.
Man, kids with all these eating problems, that you're going to do this to them?
I mean, this happened in like 1995, so like I get why you wouldn't have understood back then.
Okay, but now you cannot do it. You would be sued.
God, it was terrible. It was so bad.
Yeah, pretty awful.
I'd have my shirt, if we're getting down to it, like my shirt is off, I'm in my underpants, my big old boy bosoms are okay. Still got my cleats on for some reason.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, traditionally, this has never been a major problem in the greater Rochester area.
All right, so what's the problem?
Well, apparently it is now.
What?
So much so that folks are having a hard time finding what they need to combat said problem. And the issue with this particular situation, past how freaked out you'd be if you see these, most people think they can handle it themselves, which could be contributing to the problem getting worse and worse.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We in Rochester.
What we got?
Have a rat problem.
Rats!
And it's not just a greater Rochester area problem. Upstate New York in general, over the last 18 months, apparently, has seen a boom in rats.
Damn.
So starting last year,
there
were hardware stores that were having a hard time keeping rat traps and related items on store shelves. Folks are buying them out.
Yeah.
And the problem, it looks like, is happening again. Folks are all over social media trying to figure out what to do. For example, Debbie wrote on Facebook, quote, "I trapped 20 rats just in the month of December.
20?
Yikes.
I didn't bother the last couple of months, but I noticed holes going in my garage again. Back at it, but these are the smart ones, avoiding every trap I have put out so far."
Damn.
So we don't know
why
the rat population has apparently boomed in upstate and western New York. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. If anyone has any ideas about what the hell is happening here. Because, Tommy, there are always rats, but Rochester's never been a rat town.
No. Yeah, I would
right?
Weren't
think, yeah.
we one of the rattiest cities in America a couple years ago?
So we saw that study, but it didn't make any sense. I mean, when's the last time either of you saw a rat?
I mean, we come in every morning early. We think we see them scurrying around, and you don't.
I've seen them.
Really? I've seen them.
Out here?
Seen them.
When we were living in apartments and, walking our dogs, walking our dog at night, I would see sometimes rats crossing the road.
Well, but your apartment had a bunch of restaurants underneath.
Well, it wasn't so much. It was kind of like the whole area. Oh. Like, it wasn't
rat
even
town.
Just like
right
near
next to Dutch Town.
Our building. And I guess there are a lot of restaurants in the area, so maybe that would make sense. But I was surprised at how often you'd see them.
I always assumed that because the greater Rochester area was so unique with the nature mixed in with the city, that we had animals that would either eat them or keep them away.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
So what the hell happened?
I don't know. We got to poison these bastards.
Well, no, let's not. Hold on.
That's how you get rid of them.
No, that's one way.
That's the permanent way.
Okay, but let's not encourage people who have no experience with this to go out and buy rat poison.
Read the directions.
Thank you for that. Good call. No, think of the average guy you know.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
And if I put rat poison in your hand, I would be horrified about what happened. Look at what happened to your face the last time you used it. Got rat poison face. The big problem with rats is exactly what you are bringing up here. Folks want to handle it themselves.
You got to call an exterminator.
Okay, right? But exterminators are expensive.
Super expensive.
Okay. If you've never used rat traps, are they easy to operate?
You should do the little snapping ones?
Well, there's the snapping ones, there's the glue ones.
Yeah.
Are those effective?
I know people have used those glue ones, and the rats, if they're big enough, literally walk right through it.
It trapped my wife a couple years ago. She thought we had a mouse. She laid out glue traps. She trapped herself in a glue trap and couldn't get out.
Oh.
It was a very embarrassing moment.
And I would say so.
She asked for my help, and I just videotaped her from up the stairs.
It's also pretty cruel.
To my wife or the rats?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Wait,
you want to humanitarily?
Well, that's why I like the poison. It works. It operates differently than the snap and trap or the glue.
Okay. You're not a rat. So how do we know which one the rat would prefer?
Well, they die from blood clots. The poison.
Poison.
It just gives them blood clots. They have a heart attack and die.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but isn't the poison also dangerous for the animals that feed on the rats? Yeah, like the birds and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want to include that.
That I don't know. It's a blood clot. So I think once it gets into the blood, it's done.
How long does it take for him to die, though?
Way better than a goddamn dying in glue town.
No, but to Kimmy,
I'm stuck. But well, how about that damn rod that comes down and crushes your
None of it's fun, but I'm saying to Kimmy's point, if it takes 2 or 3 hours, a day or two, for the rat poison to kill him, she's right. Something could eat that rat, and now it's got strychnine or whatever it is.
Because I use the traps outside. Right. Like those black ones you see outside, I got them in the yard for the mice and stuff.
252 WCMF, apparently Rochester now has a rat problem. Let's talk to Tom. Hold on. Tom, you're on CMF, buddy. What's up? Kimmy, can I get the phones? I'm sorry, Tom, my fault. Go ahead.
Are we talking mice or rats? Because we have mice and stuff, those little ones, and we had an exterminator out last year, and they put a lot of those little traps out, and they put little raisins in. Instead of cheese, they put raisins in them, and we caught like about a dozen of them in about a week. And then they put a couple of those bait stations out, and then we plugged up the holes in the foundation with putty and that and sealed wool and seemed to solve the problem, but... Yeah, we had a bunch of little field mice and stuff, but no big rats. But I live in Chilai, but it's, you know, that's it. I don't know. Go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you. Thank you for the call, buddy. Yeah, you got a rat problem. You're talking mice? Let me tell you about mice, though.
You're going to get yourself some good raisins.
You got to get the California raisins out there. Get that lady.
Plug them holes.
What are you doing with the raisins? What are you talking about?
We got about a dozen of them out there.
All right, let's talk to Cody. He's on CMF. Hey, Cody, what's your raisin story?
Hey, I don't got too many raisin stories, but I do work in the pest control field here in Rochester, so I got a couple things to kind of give some information on if you guys want.
Can't wait.
So a couple things on why the rodent population is popping off so much. A, our winters being so much more mild lately, it allows the rodents to survive the winter and be able to breed more efficiently
and
more effectively.
Banging rats.
So, yeah, basically.
You can hear them howling. And then,
what's that sound like?
Why do they sound like you?
Well, here's why. Cody, if you give me 1 second, Alicia writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. I don't think Tommy is a robot. I think Tommy has a rat hidden in that tracksuit that's controlling him like Ratatouille. Go on, Cody. I'm sorry, buddy.
So they're breeding more efficiently, and also we got a lot of abandoned buildings in the city that are great homes and harboring areas for them. And then you add in our fact that our garbage and sanitation in the city isn't great. You got a lot of alleyways that are full of trash, a lot of restaurants that have alleys backing up to housing where there's garbage, oil storage, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay,
Cody, oily, horny rats.
Cody, you have seen more rats in the greater Rochester area the last 2-3 seasons.
Oh, absolutely. It's been raise in the last like.
You should have said spike. You shouldn't have switched the word. You stick with it, Cody. You stick with that word. Thank you for the call, man. Have a good rest of the day.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens with your mouth when you work around rat poison all day. So, I mean, we're getting a ton of folks writing us saying that they've been dealing with rats.
Oh.
Noodley, N-O-O-D-L-E-Y, right, 15 exclamation points. It's a lady. She says, I moved here from Syracuse a little more than a year ago. I have been shocked with how many rats there are.
Oh.
How about that? The last thing you want in your life are rats.
Yeah.
Right? Not just because of the potential disease, damage to where you live, but the food that they can ruin that you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a relationship in your life and the lady finds out there are rats all over the place, nothing else in life matters.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Rats freak everyone out. But, Kimmy, they freak you ladies out to the points where you guys will, like, not sleep if there's rats around.
I mean, as somebody who had a bat in their house last year, I think I'd take mice over the bat.
Okay.
That was kind of scary. I think it'll fly right at your face.
But it's kind of a flying rat.
Yeah,
they look like rats.
They do, but like for some reason the bat doesn't bother me as much. I'm not like scared of rats, but like when you see a rat run by you, it is like a ho.
Yeah, but you don't, a lot of the times like you don't constantly see them. Like if you spot one, I understand it would get into your head that like what else is living here. But like I guess you could kind of live without even really knowing if they're there or not.
Okay. 252 WCMF, we're slammed with rats apparently.
Okay.
Troy writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, I've caught 8 rats in the live traps in the last week and shot them with a BB gun. Good old Gates.
That's a lot of work.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
So about 5 years ago, I lived in East Iroquois, and supposedly the town came in and cleaned out a hoarder home and their yard. Anyways, I had rats chew through my van in like four different holes, chewed up in through my van and chewed my van.
Van?
Oh, yeah, they can get
van,
in.
Like
no, they
car.
Can get into like your car.
It was a Kia van, and come to find out, it's soy-based material they use to make your car. So they were eating my actual vehicle.
So I've heard stories like this where people will try and start their cars. It won't start because the soy-based engine components were eaten by mice and rats.
God damn, man.
Yeah. So I used to, I had my friend, he was putting rat traps inside my van, and every morning we'd have to open it up and we would catch the rats in the van.
That's a fun way to start your day.
Hey, Lindsay, were you freaked out or are you a tough rat lady?
They were in my house, and I thought it was kind of hilarious.
Yeah,
oh, she's a tough rat lady.
Don't mess with Lindsay.
I guess I am a tough rat lady. What are you going to do?
She can also chew through your car.
Lindsay, thanks for the call. Big soy game.
It is amazing to her point. It only takes like one house. Like it only takes like one person to like let it like overrun their home and your whole neighborhood is screwed.
Are you more likely to get rats in a populated area or out in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, country rat.
You can have mice in the... I mean, I don't know about rats so much, but I know, like, people that live out a ways, like, they'll have mice and stuff.
Okay, so you know we've seen studies that show there's, like, a genetic difference between country mice and city mice?
Yeah, that was a great cartoon.
No, I'm... Is it the same for rats?
I don't know.
Is it a different type of rat in the country than in the city?
I'm thinking the ones in the city have got to be bigger because they're eating all that good garbage.
Okay, but also think about what lives out in the country. I mean, you got horse stalls. They have, like, unlimited food.
Yeah, any place that has a horse stall.
Right?
Or, livestock.
Or, like, a farm. That's got to be unlimited food for them, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could be getting just...
But more organic and healthy, you know? Plant-based diet.
Well, especially if you're eating a Kia, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
252-WCMF, you know, you were talking about rat poison and how they all die.
Yeah.
And you said that's the safe way to do it. Oh, excuse me, more humane way. Redneck's on CMF. Hey, Redneck, how are you, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. Tommy, I'm usually on your side about everything, but you give rats rat poison, they don't die of blood clots, you dolt. They die because their blood gets thinned out and the rat poison actually eats their stomach and they bleed to death.
That's fun.
So,
I should write
that
this
being
down.
Said... That being said, rat poison is the best way to go. It's easy. It comes in little packets in a big 5 gallon bucket. You just throw the packet wherever you see the rat hole or whatever. They eat through the packet.
Wait. You throw the packet in Tommy's mom's hole.
Yes. That's exactly what you do.
Thank you, Redneck, for backing me up there. I appreciate it.
So to your point, Pat, about rural versus city, there might be a spike. My theory is there might be a spike in it. I don't know about Rochester, but egg prices. Everybody went out and got chickens. So
if
you got a chicken coop or whatever, they love chicken coops because you got fresh grain, you got straw to bed the chickens. They got a plethora. They got a paradise there.
That's an interesting theory.
So
way to go, chicken dicks.
Right. Better hope you don't have any chicken coops around your house, Pat.
Yeah, Henrietta, we're fine. Redneck, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I love how you described rat poison working the opposite way that rat poison works.
But I was right.
It
F's with their blood.
You literally could not have been more wrong.
It was the opposite.
If we do a quick power ranking of gross stuff you don't want to see outside of your house.
All right.
Rats number one. Can we agree there?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Are mice or roaches number two?
Roach.
Ooh, roach number two.
Roach is worse than mouse.
Yeah, roach is going to mess with my brain more than the mice.
So,
they'll crawl up through your pipes and everything.
They get into everything, man, and they're nasty.
Okay.
And have you ever seen those ones in Florida? They're huge.
Where do ants fall?
Eh.
Why are none of us bothered by ants?
I am bothered by ants. They seem like they're easier to get rid of, though.
Are they? Because it feels like once you get ants, unless you have like a professional,
a professional can come in and take care of them.
And what do they say? Like for every ant you see, there's 1,000 ants somewhere
else. They got the colony.
But it does feel like ants are so standard around here because ants don't bother me.
No.
Like I've jumped at a mouse. I've been grossed out by a roach. I've never been like freaked out by a whole bunch
of
ants.
They're more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody on hold. I'm really sorry. I would love to hear your rat stories.
A lot of rat stories.
Oh, we got to take a break.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This would have changed the game.
Really?
Straight up. I mean, if you're not allowed to do this anymore, there are offenses that are all of a sudden panicking. And here's the thing. It was dangerously close to happening.
Oh.
But a team that we know very well that benefited from this play a ton last year, I think, made a surprising decision.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. The two big NFL stories from yesterday, which one we talked about earlier, the Bills will be appearing on Hard Knocks on HBO this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks and it's stupid.
No.
You're stupid because you love it.
I'm excited.
And you suck. But the other big news yesterday, everyone is familiar with the tush push.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The play that the Eagles made famous. You get the quarterback up under the center. You have both running backs behind him pushing as hard as he can.
Yeah.
To gain a yard. It seemed almost unstoppable when the Eagles started doing it. Well, NFL teams, some of them, did not like this.
Yeah.
And they said that it did not belong in the NFL. One, it wasn't entertaining. Two, it was dangerous for the players involved.
Oh.
So the Green Bay Packers, as you are allowed to do as an NFL franchise, proposed a new rule that would have eliminated the tush push in the NFL.
No tush.
Well, it would have made...
No pushing of the tush.
Pushing of any kind, Kimmy. The new rule would have made pushing or pulling any player with the ball to advance them a penalty.
Mm.
To change a rule in the NFL,
yeah,
you need 2/3 of the franchises to agree to it.
Oh, it's like the Senate.
You got it. So they needed 24 votes to ban the tush push yesterday. And this got so intense that the Eagles sent former center Jason Kelce to the owners' meetings to talk to other teams' representatives to try to convince them to keep the play.
So he's lobbying.
Yes.
Right. And charming guy.
It was close.
Yeah.
The owners voted yesterday. Now, keep in mind, they needed 24 votes to ban it.
Yeah.
They got 22.
Ooh, damn.
So, the tush push lives on, but only 2 votes away from being banned forever.
Wow. Damn.
Here's where it gets weird.
What?
The Eagles are known for this, but your Buffalo Bills also had amazing success with what we are calling the Josh Mosh.
Some game-changing moments, for sure.
Yeah, hell, they got a first down in the AFC Championship game with it, and the refs were like, nah, it was too good. We're not going to give it to you.
Mm.
The Bills voted to ban it.
Why? Is it McDermott?
Yeah.
So do they feel like they would lose out more by having it than benefiting from it?
All right, so...
I mean, having a big quarterback like that, you think it'd help you.
It was unstoppable with Josh. Like,
yeah.
They did amazing with it last year. The teams that voted to keep it, Eagles, Ravens, Browns, Lions, Jags, Dolphins, Patriots, Saints, Jets, and Titans. The Bills were not one.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
So there is a little bit of context here. McDermott was asked at the last owners' meetings a couple months ago if he was in favor of keeping it. And I'm paraphrasing, but he did say that he was worried about the safety of the players.
Does he also think it's a sin? he would have to go to mass and, you know, say, forgive me, Father, I have tush push this week.
He said he was worried about player safety. The way that
who's gotten hurt from it?
So the concern is, one, head-on-head contact. Yeah. Two, the way that bodies contort in that big pile.
Yeah.
And three, like, you know, you could have a literal ton of humans laying on
but
top of one
person.
But
you're going to get that anyway when you get these goal line stands. Even without it, you get that pile of guys.
Yes, yes, but the problem is you are driving a human body into all of this chaos. Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of like a rugby move to it. You know?
It is, and that's why some teams hate it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. On one hand, if McDermott and the Bills voted against it because they are concerned about the safety of their players, that's a pretty genuine move where you've had success with this, yet you're worried about your players.
Yeah, you could just not do it.
Thank you, right? That's
I mean, it's your choice, I guess, to put your players in that position. No, the NFL didn't say when you're on the goal line, you must do the tush push.
Mandatory tush.
So I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And
if that was the concern, you wouldn't have been doing it this whole time.
And I guess, I mean, does that mean we're going to see less Josh Mosh in the upcoming Bills season?
How could you when it's on the line like that? It's that close.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think
it's worked for you. And you have a giant quarterback.
Yeah, but I think you can make the argument Josh could get it without it. Whereas Jalen Hurts, where the Eagles, you know, the Eagles made this famous, he's too tiny to be able to get through that line by
himself.
But
then you got Josh jumping over the top and doing all that stuff. That also looks really dangerous when you're that exposed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, what's more dangerous? Is it Josh being having literal tons of men pushing on him from each side and up? Or is it Josh jumping
flying
over the top?
Didn't he hurt his hand jumping over the top?
Yep. Yeah, well, that was opening day.
But he jumped over the top and hurt his wrist.
But that was in a wide open field. Oh. I mean, yes, you're right. Yes, all of the every play in the NFL can cause an injury. I guess I would love to see some kind of statistics, injuries on a tush-push-josh-mosh versus injuries of a quarterback jumping over the top. Because you're right. It would just take a linebacker's helmet to hit his hand the wrong way, and he shatters his hand.
And they're so exposed jumping up like that.
So you want to keep the tush-push?
Yeah. It's fun to watch. I'm always pro-tush.
You're the one person who said it's fun to watch. Everyone thinks it sucks. It takes excitement out of the game.
No, it's just like, you know, you're right there, and you just you get your points.
Kimmy, are you pro-tush-push?
I mean, I think it's worked for the Bills more than any team in the NFL, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I don't see why you'd want to get rid of it. Even if you use it less, it's still a good option for you.
I do find it weird, like, when leagues vote to try and ban plays. Like, you know, just find a way to stop it. Mm-hmm. There is a way. Someone will come up with a way to stop this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with baseball, they banned the infield shift a couple years ago.
Okay.
Just beat it.
All right.
Find a way to beat it.
Mm-hmm. All right. But how do you stop, like, a pile of weight coming at you? You got to put your weight there.
You put bigger players on the offensive defensive line, but that also
it all up.
But it also opens up the game for it to be faster other places. Like, that's what I mean. Like, the game just keeps evolving.
All right.
You can't just ban stuff you don't like. That's communism.
Yes.
Yeah. So do it for America. Tush Push and Josh Mosh for America.
All right.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.